How do you feel now? How do you feel?
Fine, fine. What happened?
You ate 10 tainted hams. We pumped your stomach. You're very lucky to be alive.
Thanks.
Just need your name for our records.
My name? My name. My name is Jones. Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
That's not your name. You're simply lying to me.
Right. Sorry. My real name is Harris. Dr. Helen Harris.
No, that's my name. You're probably still a little out of it from the toxins. I'll check back on you in 15 minutes.
Must escape before police find me.
Go for the 98th episode of We Talk Comics. This is that's Scott Kowalczuk. No, actually, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. That was Enema Bag Jones. That's Enema Bag Jones, who's going to be joining us for the Secret Santa Story Exchange 2013. And that's right. This week we have the Sir Charles Minister of Sarcasm, Brett Monroe. I don't know what that means. Brett?
Hey.
The color man of the business.
This opening is the smoothest ever so far. Like, this is award-winning podcast.
Hang on, I just have to move to the edge of my seat. Just 1 second here.
All right. Right. And the other corner
that's the advice I've been giving the cast of The Hangout for weeks, months, even, is come liquored up. It'll go so much smoother.
No, it won't.
And still, they don't.
Well, it'll go smoother for some people.
The king of comic cool is tag team partner Keith Callback.
Huh? Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. I can't believe that Brett was saying those horrible things about the Hangout. They do a great show. Also, Brett does a wicked impression of me.
Good work. I am an amazing ventriloquist, total throwing my voice.
You're like a modern day Rich Little if Rich Little was dead and not currently the modern day Rich Little.
I love that we've already had a Rich Little.
I'm like the modern day Rich Little if Rich Little had absolutely no talent.
And so, modern day Rich Little is what you're
yeah, oh, good. Fair enough. Yes.
I don't know why I bother. Next.
John Viner.
Weighing 247,000 pounds. Standing 7'14" with a record of 5 wins and 117 losses. All 5 wins by knockout, though. All 117 losses by submission. Comic Canuck, Chris Duker.
Hello. Thanks for having me. And all my weight and height.
Yeah. And next
well.
The inglorious bastard of beer drinking, Chris Beck.
Is that a good wrestling thing?
Can we point out that Chris snorted? That was literally his response to his introduction, was a snort.
You make it sound like he's never done that before on the show.
That's generally his response to most everything.
That's awesome.
Bring up the Thunderbolts.
Of course, over there we have what are we going to call him? The Prince of Pencils.
Oh.
The auteur of art.
It's true.
Hang on while you pat yourself on the back.
The
What's the wrestler's name who did that? Barry.
Barry Horowitz.
Horowitz.
Yeah, yeah. It was Barry Horowitz. Enema Bag Jones joining us. Did I get your name right?
That's Mr. Enema Bag Jones. And we didn't cue my entrance music, which I'll play now.
Let's play it now. What is it? Are we going to hear the whole song?
Please? I was just getting into it, man.
Oh, Enema Bag Jones. Well, Enema, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Nice work there.
Thank you.
Is Bag Jones hyphenated?
Is it Enema Bag or is it Bag Jones?
No, that's Mr. Enema Bag Jones. Why is this so hard to comprehend?
There's not a T before bag, is there? We good?
No, it's Mr. Enema Bag Jones. Why are we arguing about
this? So not Mr. T. Enema Bag Jones.
No, there's no Mr. T.
I'm with it. Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
See, Keith gets it.
It's funny, you don't look
at it. I understand. He's the scepter of sketches, Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
Wow.
Did you say the scepter?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's okay.
And I'm Mo. That's it. Show over, guys. Thanks for coming in for the Secret Santa Story Exchange.
Fantastic.
2013.
I read some books.
We read some books. Yeah, no, a little different format, no news. So, Keith, did anything happen since we last recorded in 1942?
They canceled some books. They announced some books. Marvel's relaunched twice. Every book ran to 25, and they've canceled them all and restarted them.
Love that.
They Superior Spider-Man is on Volume 47, Issue 8.
This week.
It's currently Kraven the Hunter is now got control of Spider-Man's body. Mm-hmm. They're just cycling through.
That's awesome. Why aren't I reading that?
Because you're valiant.
Most importantly, Animal Man's going to be a member of Justice League Canada.
Ah, okay. So actually, anything actually happened, Keith?
Animal Man's going to be a member of Justice League Canada.
Awesome.
I give Justice League Canada 20 issues.
For anyone listening.
It's five. It's five. So, I mean, claiming this far-reaching, I can see the future, it's already been announced as a five-issue story.
Oh, I missed that part.
Chris is going to buy it each issue four times.
Chris also has the prediction.
Oh, shit. They better have the multiple covers where you can buy one for each province.
What was your prediction on Super Superior? How many issues it would last? Didn't you say exactly 12?
Mine?
Yeah.
I said 12 because I didn't think of it. At the time, I didn't think they had the balls to do it, but I've actually quite been enjoying it.
They put out 12 a month. Like, those guys are...
Yeah, feels like it.
Yeah. That series comes a lot. Scott, you had something you wanted to say?
One thing that anybody
Mr. Enema, you had something you wanted to say?
It's Mr. Bag, thank you very much.
Not Mr. Bag Jones.
It's only a bunch of my friends.
That's terrible. For the 10 people listening, Keith.
Oh, you're generous.
There's only six of us here. We'll be fortunate if we only have 10 on this one, because I don't want anybody to hear this so far.
I'm thrilled that Scott's going to double our audience, though.
Well, with that great intro you had, Mo.
Oops, was that out loud?
Keith is literally just a disembodied head on the Skype video for this, which I just, you know, for the sake of, you know, seeing us in full.
Keith, one word, framing.
Your skills are below average, sir.
Chris looks like he's in the back room. Like, it looks like he's like squeezed in a closet with the door closed, and he's standing like there's no chair in there.
Chris, will you finally come out of the closet? I mean, seriously, just
we knew that was coming.
Yeah, I
changed the position of my chair here because I know that Scott wants to see these collarbones here.
No one.
Nice.
No. What's your address?
I'm looking forward to talking to Keith about his 900 items at some point in the night.
Oh yeah, you know what? I was helping him kind of post some pictures on them again. I had a chance to reread that. It was a fascinating journey while it was going on for those first 10 weeks.
I wrote a finale. I'm a huge fan of Twin Peaks, and that's essentially what happened on Twin Peaks.
Don't give me any endings.
A really great run for like 10 weeks, and then it started to peter out, and then there's no real ending. But so, you know, for me, I actually wrote an ending.
But the difference is, it really was a fascinating journey watching it. Like, there's the drama when you open up that blog saying, "I quit my job this week," you know, and then. We thought you'd have more free time to continue writing, but no, apparently.
I did this crazy thing where I actually had another job waiting when I quit my job. So.
Oh, man, I got to.
It's bold.
Delivering papers at 8 a.m. in the morning doesn't really, I don't know if that's the count.
Well, see, I also count stealing the papers from close neighborhood at 6 as part of the gig.
Okay, cool.
So, it really fills up my time.
Was it embarrassing the first time that you couldn't beat up the 8-year-old?
That's why he took Batman glasses.
I think it was a draw.
there's no shame in that.
Batman glasses, I like that.
You didn't hear? He took Batman glasses for a month.
I did hear. I remember you guys talking about that.
Bullshit. Cool. You don't listen.
After the Jones,
you're too important in the world there of somebody come up with a nickname for him.
I think Mr. Annabelle Bag Jones kind of is pretty all encompassing.
All right. So anyways, here's the secret Santa story exchange idea. Here's how this was gonna work. We had 8 people, the 6 of us and 2 other people, Ryan Ferrier, the wonderful writer of Dave, which you can get from Monkey Brain Press, and Matt Centauri Griff. Somebody help me.
Griffith.
That's what I said. Matt Centauri Griffith of Comicosity, of course, the managing editor there. And we were going to submit to Aaron Long, who another, you know, founder of Comicosity, was going to be Santa, but nobody knew it was going to be him. And he was going to decide that we're going to submit stories that we would like to be given out to the person we had as our Secret Santa. And then he was going to distribute the stories and people were supposed to guess who was what. And then Ryan could not make it. And then tonight, the last second, Matt fell ill and we're left with the 6. And this is, we tried to give Ryan an extra week so he could come in and didn't happen, though we'll see him at the Super Summit on Sunday. So it's, the Secret Santa story exchange basically is that, though, is that you're trying to give a story to somebody that you think they're going to enjoy that they would never have read themselves, and then they're going to tell you about it, and they're going to try and guess who gave it to them. And then we'll find out right at the end who gave who what. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense to the listening audience?
It does, but what I can't believe you didn't point out was that Matthew bailed at exactly 4:20 today. And he was all, "Oh, I feel like crap, you know, how, you know, sorry guys." And it was like 4:20 on the nose. Bullshit. I call bullshit, Matthew Griffith.
Yeah, he's probably eating some cheesies right now.
That's probably what he's doing. He's eating like a bowl of cheesies and a box of Cracker Jacks.
He's American. They don't have cheesies down there, man.
They
got cheese puffs, which is nowhere near as good as cheesies. Do not disparage the goodness of Hawkins cheesies.
Look, when you're talking that's about awesome. Snack foods and you're talking Chris, serious yes. business, Chris Beck's the man you're going to.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Chester Cheetah's got some pretty awesome cheese things down in the States.
Cheez-Its, but they're not awesome compared to cheesies.
I don't know. The spicy ones, man, the hot stuff.
Yeah, but they don't crunch. Like
sure they do.
I don't like the crunchy crunch.
No, they don't.
You apparently have not been eating the right snack.
Not in comparison to Jeezy's.
I would like to write a book called Captain Cheez-It after this conversation.
In fairness, Chris has not been allowed to leave the country in many years.
That's a good point.
He may not be familiar with what's going on in the U.S. Their technology and
my mom eats cheesies, and I can't believe that she hasn't died yet. As much as I adore her, what part of that food, is actual food?
The package. It's cornmeal and cheese. That's it.
It's not real cheese. Good. Is it real cheese?
No.
It's real cheese flavor. Apparently.
It's not even real cheese color.
It says on the back, made with real cheese.
Duh.
No, it does. It says
made with real fake cheese.
It says made near made real cheese.
Like styrofoam and paper mache.
Just a stack of cheese beside it.
I don't know about you guys, but I have a hankering to go and buy some cheesies after this.
Wait till the podcast is over and I can get some.
And then barfing.
Yeah. I want to go pour myself another drink.
We could totally bring some cheesies to the Super Summit.
What's the store?
Get on it.
There? What are you drinking, Mr. Bag?
Okay, so I went to Cuba a number of years ago, and I had a blast in Cuba.
Me too.
And you drink a lot when you're in Cuba because you're on vacation, so you enjoy it. So I got to talking to the bartender, and I was having Havana specials. And I thought, great drink, loving the hell out of it. You know, sir, how do I make this when I go back to Canada where I live? And he gives me the ingredients or whatever. And having had a few too many drinks, I kind of vaguely remember what he said. So since then, it's been a number of years. I've been making what I thought was a Havana Havana special for myself. and it as of a week ago, I decided, you know, I might as well just look this up to be sure. What I've been drinking and has been my drink of choice for the last number of years is actually a pina colada.
Most people are fairly familiar with what a pina colada is.
Is it a virgin pina colada?
No, it's like it's a proper pina
colada. Not with Scott.
With rum. But it was kind of one of those moments of like, I'm drinking a pina colada, and that's my cool drink of choice, boys.
Okay, and so what's in the actual Havana special? What was it? What's in the actual Havana special?
I have no idea. As soon as I looked at the ingredients, it was just like, well, fuck, that's not what I'm drinking. Pina colada.
Well, Scott, you have to Mr. Jones, you have to understand that Mo is the king of the fluffy, girly drinks.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my favorite is the snowball. I love the snowball.
The snowball,
oh,
yep.
So good.
Wow.
Oh, so sweet. Okay.
We've got to change Scott's Twitter description now, though, to say that he likes pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
That's true. I do. love the rain.
You know what the thing is? I've not had a pina colada here.
I'm surprised we didn't go anywhere with Moe's snowball.
It makes me think of Clerks, actually.
There's a joke
there's
or two
a bit
there.
Of a variation on snowball, but anyway.
Anyway, all I'm going to say is, Scott, I have not had your pina colada, and I'm itching to, but I haven't had one here that's anywhere near as good as the ones over there in Cuba.
Mo, if that's the last time I hear you say I haven't had your pina colada, I'm good. That's cool if that's the last time.
Then this is why we're all in separate rooms.
We talk comics after dark.
Yeah, I did find out.
Oh, no.
We lost Scott.
Scott, you're frozen.
Scott, we lost
too much ice in your
you know what? I just say, thank God. I don't know what was coming next.
So I have to restart.
Oh, he might have to sign out and sign in.
Cheesies are a brand of cheese curl snack made and sold in Canada by W.T. Hawkins Limited. The snack is made from aged cheddar and sold in various size bags.
Seriously, Chris, where are you actually sitting?
In my kitchen.
Oh, it's your kitchen. It really does look like you're in a like a barn or a shed.
I got ugly wall stuff. Sorry.
I didn't mean to insult you. No? But I like your cheesy knowledge.
Yes.
He can read a wiki.
I'm very passionate about Canadian snacks.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like dill pickle chips, but I'm quite proud that we can get them here and you can't get them down south.
Dill pickle chips are amazing.
I personally don't. Ketchup also hard to find down south.
You can't. Yeah, it's almost impossible.
Actually. We also have superior technology in chocolate bars. Come, just try a Smartie and an M&M together. Smarties way better.
I disagree. Peanut M&M's. You don't have peanut Smarties.
And they don't even have an Arrow. They got the freaking Mirage down there.
You know what else you can't get down in the States? You can't get the little Kraft peanut butter cups like to at a restaurant. Like they have jam to put on your...
We're going to have to call this anything but We Talk Comics. Any other title at this point would be far
No. It's okay. It can stay as WTC. It's just We Talk Cheesies.
It's not, it should be WTC WTF.
No, we did that already.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Fine.
This is our first hoedown.
This is way more apt to that description, though.
By the way, nice Booster Gold shirt.
Thank you.
It's the only reason you stood up. You wanted us to see it.
Booster
with that slow clap.
Is it a Booster?
You've got the slow clap.
I thought you had the Zelda shirt on.
No, I told you a while ago that it wasn't. And...
Okay, I wasn't listening.
Is Scott making himself a drink right now for the Pina Colada Havana special?
What happened there? I knew he shouldn't have updated his Skype.
It's your fault, Mo.
I always blame Mo.
Okay, let's... What are we doing here?
I am completely lost.
What's that?
I just
popped back in for me.
Well, no, yeah, I just tried calling him again.
Oh. Let's see what happens. Let's see if he's still there.
Excuse us.
Can always text the guy. But anyways, so Secret Santa Story Exchange. That's what this show is all about, as you can tell from the
volumes of that.
Call failed again for Kowalczuk. That guy. I don't know what the hell. So anyways, what are Brett? Let's talk a Secret Santa.
Sure.
Who's gonna talk? Brett, you decide. I think I'm tapping out as the host here.
You're giving up.
I'm giving up. That. It's easier without Kowalczuk. I mean, Enema Bag Jones, Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
Mr. Enema Bag Jones. Well, hopefully we can get back.
Hopefully we can get him back.
Mr. Enema Bag Jones
hijacking the show. But all right. Anyways, what were you gonna say?
All right. Well, why don't we ask our guest of note then, Monsieur Chris Duker, to speak up on the books that he read.
French, wouldn't it be Duché?
Duché, yes. Monsieur Chris Duché.
Comic Canuck.
Jokes that never get old. To me. I was given, for Secret Santa, I was given Gotham Central, Jokers and Mad Men. Which actually turns out to be issues 11 through 22 of Gotham Central from DC.
That's totally not 22 issues, Chris. That's only 11.
So, anyhow, it felt like 30. So, I had never, being the superhero guy that I am in terms of what I like to read, I do like something different. Last year I had Underwater Welder by Jeff Lemire and absolutely loved it. So this year, when I got Gotham Central, after a couple fails on the first and second choice that were supposed to be given to me, I thought, oh, okay, Gotham Central. I'd never read the other side of DC and sort of the other side of Batman, because I was never really interested. So, I just as a background, I do love a good cop show, big fan of cop shows. So when I started reading these issues, I was actually really impressed. Obviously, you've got Brubaker there as the writer, so that's always a good thing. The first four or five issues, I was really humming along.
I know you're in the middle of your thing here, but are you reading notes?
No, I'm just looking down at my screen.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I had the only thing I'd written down on a piece of paper here was the title of what I had to read.
Oh.
I'm just thinking.
He has the teleprompter. Up front. He doesn't need to be reading for handwritten notes. He's not a monster.
I'd like to thank Keith for providing my notes. So the first, like I said, the first five, six issues, I was really intrigued, really into it, and pleasantly surprised. Little to no Batman in it at all, which was nice to see the actual cops doing the detective work and the investigating. But as I got into around issue 7 and 8, I found myself sort of getting a little bored, unfortunately, and it just didn't really pick up for me from there. There were good moments. There are good moments here and there, but it wasn't consistent for me. I know others may disagree, but that's sort of how I was left with it. It was nice to start, to be pleasantly surprised off the start. Like I said, the first 5 to 7 issues were really good, really intriguing, but it just sort of fell flat for me, unfortunately.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Oh, hey, who is that? Peter,
what happened?
Peter Kalataman.
What happened, Mr.
Bang? Wait for it.
I will say, at least he brings his own music.
Well, if I knew that, I would have brought my own.
Bag Jones is back in the conversation.
Miss Chris Beck reading us the Wikipedia entry page for cheesies.
Gross.
Made with real cheese. Aged cheddar.
I don't believe it.
So you were not.
Are you calling Wikipedia a liar?
I am calling Wikipedia a dirty liar.
All right. So tell Scott what you were reading.
It's probably as much real cheese as the fruit gummies say they have real fruit juice in them.
It's true.
Probably like that same percentage.
That's what I'm counting on for my vitamin C, Keith. What are you trying to say?
Doesn't Cheese Whiz claim that there's real cheese in it as well?
Isn't Cheese Whiz just literally 3 ingredients away from being plastic? And I'm serious.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Next thing you're going to start dissing Twinkies. What the hell is up with this girl?
Chris, can I just say I'm happy you're still alive?
And shocked.
Aren't we all?
All right.
So, you know, the Twinkie farmers of America will get their revenge on you.
I think that's the Twinkie farmers of, like, I don't know, somewhere in China, because it's definitely not in America.
Did you guys notice when Mr. Enema Bag Jones was gone that we actually managed to talk some comics? Did you notice that? And then as soon as he's back in, right back to the cheesies and Twinkies.
Notice that while he was gone, his drink filled up part of the
way. That's your superpower. And his drinks.
All right. Anyways, what book were you reading there? Tell Mr. Bag.
Just quick rundown there. So I, after a couple of unfortunate fails on choices that were given to me for Secret Santa, I ended with Gotham Central Jokers and Mad Men, issues 11 through 22. I was just, long story short, I was intrigued by the first like 6 to 7 issues, and then it sort of fell flat for me, and I quite enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised, but it unfortunately just fell flat in the end for me, and I was sort of left like, okay.
Now, two questions. Number one, who do you think gave it to you?
I think Matt
may have given it to you, too. He's one other person that. So who do you think gave it to you?
I think Brett gave it to me.
You think Brett gave it to you? Okay. My other question is, now you're saying that you enjoyed the first 6 or 7, and then it fell off for you, fell off a cliff a bit. Didn't you read the first 6 or 7 prior and then finish those the last few today?
No, I read all issues 11 through 22 tonight when I got home.
You read all of them. Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. Where do you find the time?
My wife was looking after my daughter, so I went upstairs and read. So
that's a heck of a lady.
And you had a week and a half before this to read them.
Pardon me?
And you had a week and a half before this to read them.
Well, yes, technically, if it hadn't been moved, I would have had a half a day to read it. So it's good that it was moved.
Well, obviously, you would have been fine with a half a day, too.
Yeah. Well, at the time, I didn't know. I've been busy. Christmas, my child.
Amazing wife.
And really, I mean, you can ply your wife with 30 bottles of wine, so I mean...
I'm glad you finished that sentence with 30 bottles of wine. anyway, she'll never hear this, so it's good. But yes, my wife's a saint. There you go. There's my rundown on Jokers and Mad Men Gotham Central.
Hmm. Anybody else read that? Anybody else?
Yeah, because I got the hardcovers to that.
Yeah,
I've got them. They're good. They're real good.
They're real good. There you go. Two hints as to who it may have been. You guessed Brett, though.
I guess I should probably go.
Yeah. All right, Chris Beck, what did you read?
I read The Homeland Directive by Robert Venditti and illustrated by Mike Huddleston, a top shelf book. It is the story of a government conspiracy to basically gain more power for the government. I kind of really enjoyed this book. It's very pretty, if you know what I mean. The art is definitely more.
It's art. It's
definitely art geared for more a more sophisticated reader. I enjoyed it. My one problem with this book, I actually have this problem with a lot of Robert Venditti's books. I didn't enjoy The Surrogates, the comic book or the movie, but that's beside the point.
Don't blame the movie on him.
I'm not getting into that. I find his work is actually geared more towards it's like an unfinished screenplay rather than a comic book. I don't think he takes full advantage of the medium, the comic book's medium. It just feels like he handed in a screenplay to an artist who visualized it. Really, I enjoyed this book, but I wouldn't be back for a second volume or anything like that. It just didn't feel like a comic book for me, and I'm guessing Matt gave it to me.
You know, I have to, as you know, we did an interview with him, and he didn't read. He didn't read like until like his final year of college. He never read a comic book in his life until his final year of college. So it's very possible, actually. I mean, especially when this was written, that he really didn't understand the medium yet, and that he was still trying to figure it out as a writer. And obviously now he's doing, you know, Green Lantern and EXO and stuff like that. So I mean, I think he's figured out now. But yeah, I mean, it's very possible what you said that he. It was a screenplay that he adapted for a comic, or that he, you know, he's, yeah, I think that's, I wouldn't be surprised. We'll have to ask him next time we interview him. He's a good guy.
He is a very good guy.
You should accuse him the next time you interview him and not just ask him.
Totally. Although he'll pull out his Green Lantern power lantern, and then, he'll like, you know.
The one that Jeff
I want
John
that
set
thing
him.
So much, man.
I know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah.
Although I
have you seen that one? Have you seen that, Scott? Have you seen that? Have you seen this Green Lantern that they sent out to the people working on it?
No, I haven't.
You can purchase it. They're a couple hundred bucks.
Scott, do you have a computer nearby?
Keith, send me the link.
No, I have no computer near me.
Because you could Google We Talk Comics Robert Venditti, and you would see this picture of this incredibly cool Green Lantern that you would then want.
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm not into materialism anymore, fellas. So
how about alcohol. Geek stuff? Are you into geek stuff? Because this is geek stuff.
No, Keith inspired me with his purging of life, and I got rid of almost everything.
Oh, okay. You two should talk about 900 Things then.
Keith's 900 Things. Keith, give us the like one line. Snapshot of 900 Things.
It was a 1 year project.
Wait. Make it kind of sexy.
Make it kind of sexy. It was a 1 year sexy project.
Slower.
900 slower. Things.
Thankfully, this is an audio podcast.
Keith, put your shirt back on. That's too far. We're seeing way too much nipple.
You can leave your pants off, though. We're okay with that.
What's creepy about that is for those
that you, think,
we're looking at Mo from sort of like waist up. So the assumption is, I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. All I know is Keith is, or Scott, I'm really looking forward to sampling your pina colada again.
we said once.
Amazing.
I'm out. I need another pinnacle.
Well, before you go, Mr. Bag Jones, then perhaps you should tell us what comic you read.
I should just come over there right now.
We can talk 900 things?
No, we're still talking about Keith about his 900 things, which I think was a wonderful project.
It was a one-year project to stop new stuff from coming into my house and have 900 items go back out. And I came pretty close to getting the 900 out. The last of them are actually earmarked to go to a comic sale in February. To benefit the overhead, the massive overhead of We Talk Comics.
Make it sexy. I'm glad
that somebody else is sharing some of that overhead.
Is this on Hellhurst?
It's sexy into this, Keith.
That's right. It's in Sexy February at Sexy Hellhurst.
Nice. I'm going to that too, buddy. I'm selling a bunch of stuff.
Hellhurst After Dark.
See, now we're talking.
Now I'm not.
It's in the Hillhurst Sunnyside penthouse sale.
Is it going to be like Baywatch Nights?
You will look at what is on sale on that table, and you say, "Dear penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me that I found a complete set of Joe Straczynski's Supreme Power for a very reasonable price."
That sounds good.
My wife now calls me Booster Gold.
Yeah. Oh. Getting hot in here.
Keith, how did you celebrate the end of 900 then?
You know, I thought I would go on a big buying spree, when I got to the end, I actually went to a store.
900 things
fail.
No, I went to a store, the day was up, and I'm like, I can buy anything I want. I can walk into the store, and I have no rules, I have no restrictions on what I purchase. And I walked out without anything. I walked out like, well, shit, I don't want anything.
Except there was something, a magazine and a brown paper bag.
Which, I mean, it was the real goal of the project was not really the 900 things. It was to break that habit of getting stuck.
Well, the thing is, the blogs it was about that personal growth journey was what was fascinating about them.
It was about breaking the habit of writing blogs and success.
You did that after about 12 of them.
I did. I counted the blog as one of the 900 things because I gave up on it so early.
See, I love Keith's 900 things because I was in the midst of a move last year, and my wife and I moved into a smaller house to live inner city, and I didn't have the space for anything anymore. I had something like 14 boxes, long boxes of comics. And for those who listen, 14 long boxes are a shit ton of space.
It's not like, 23 though, so.
Oh, so I'm sorry. Is it a competition, Brad? Is that
I had no
Keith and I used them as a table and chairs. Hello.
It's true.
Mine literally took up half of my single car garage in my new house. And I had something like 12 like large Rubbermaids of action figures, and they're all gone.
Wow!
I'm
can inspire people.
I feel really good that other people have told me that. Longbox Graveyard, told me a similar story that he had been trying to dump long boxes of stuff that he didn't want in his collection. And it was after reading my rant on why do we treat comics differently than when we treat a magazine that he just took a pile of comics, walked out to his recycling bin, and pitched them in.
I like that because
why wouldn't I? Like, I mean, you wouldn't hang onto a pile of Vanity Fair hoping that they will go up in value.
What? Oh man.
The Chris.
Okay, and Chris, no one but Duke.
Chris's day bed is just stacks of Vanity Fair.
God damn it! It's true. There's no mattresses. It's just covers on Vanity Fair.
I bet you that Vanity Fair. I'm serious. I bet you if you had a mint copy of the Vanity Fair with the nude pregnant Demi Moore, that's worth money.
I'm willing to bet it's not.
It's a strange thing, though, right? Because like who's that actually worth money to? Because you go to a comic book convention and I can find anything for like $1 if I'm looking. Yeah. Like, I bought a copy of Amazing Spider-Man number, what was the Rhino's first appearance? 38?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I bought a copy of that for, like,
that was $10. A fictional demo. I totally bought the
you.
You
knew that. Yeah, that's right.
A buddy of mine asked me why I wanted to try and sell off a lot of my comics that I just gone through over a year ago and got rid of about almost 3,000 of them. Well, I donated them, but that's not the point. The point is now I'm at a point where I'm just like, okay, you know what?
you know, way to just slip that one in there, honest Chris. Like, oh, I donated them. Come on.
Hell, I sold mine this summer.
I did. Anyway.
I actually sold them all. It's great. 5,000 comics.
But now I'm
just stupid to martyr everybody.
Holy shit. Anyway, now I want to make money on them. So the reason, anyway, he asked me, he said, why do you want to sell them? And I said, long story short, I just said, because quite frankly, I have a bunch of, say, what I think are important issues, and I don't want to hang on to it for 30 years to bring it to a convention and sell it for $8. You know, like, because really, same as you, Scott, I bought an amazing Spider-Man with Lizard on it from, like, 1971. I don't know. Anyway, and I bought it for, like, $6, and it's in mint condition. And I thought, this guy's been hanging on to this thing for how long?
It's been his whole life, man.
You know? So I'm not knocking anyone who does it at all, but it's just
maybe knock them a little bit.
Okay, well.
Do it right now. You're on.
Well, I think they could probably make more money or just get out of the business. How's that? Is that okay?
That cut hard, man.
I could really go for pina colada.
Epic fail on that one.
You put me on the spot. Whoever you are.
All right. Speaking of putting you on the spot, Mr. Jones, Mr. Bag, Mr. Enema.
Mr. Enema Bag Jones, thank you very much.
What did you read?
I read something called The Dreaming on Comixology. I was given the task of reading issues 1 to 3, and Comixology cut out on me on page 17 of issue 3. So we almost finished it. It was good. I really liked the artist was Peter Snellberg, who I'm very fond of and whose work I've never actually seen this book before. I think it was the House of Mystery characters. I just assume that everybody knows this one, so I'm looking for somebody else to fill it.
It's one of the Sandman spinoff books. It was the first Sandman spinoff book.
Very first, yep.
Okay. So, no, it was fun. It
first,
was
the first regular.
It was written and drawn very much like an old Nexus comic from Steve Rude and Mike Barron, which was very aesthetically pleasing to me. You know, it didn't necessarily make my nipples hard, but it could have. Had we tried.
Well, do.
Like if, Batman suit nipples hard or if, actual nipples hard?
Yeah, if Comixology hadn't cut out, then you know, perhaps you were heading there.
How
many issues were you supposed to read and you only got to midway through issue 3? How many was it?
Midway 1 through 3 I was supposed to read and I only got through midway through 3. So we were talking nipples there for a minute.
What is one of
Hard versus
Adam Bag's favorite comics?
So I'm one of the few that actually really dug Batman and Robin, the movie. But if Batman and Robin's costumes had nipples on them, why didn't Batgirl's?
Yeah.
Exactly. That just would have been rude.
Well, maybe
or she shouldn't have had costume over her nipples, really.
Like, that's Chris, come on.
What? Now, nipples Kit come Jackson in all different it. Sizes just because you can't see them on the outside. I mean, maybe they were inverted. You can't.
There's something creepy about Chris talking to me about nipples in his closet in his closet office. That I don't know. It doesn't.
If Cheesy's had nipples, he'd be all over them.
I want to get Chris a T-shirt that says Cheesy's and nipples. Chris, can that be? Can you start a blog called Chris Cheesy's and nipples?
I'd actually have to work on my own blog first.
Okay. Let's rename it Cheesies and Nipples. And
I agree. Chris, book it. It's done. Your new blog titles will always be Cheesies and Nipples. In fact, it's going to get its own little sub-menu at the top of We Talk Podcast.
You know, it's got the best acronym, CAN.
Oh, I like
that. That's good.
Chris Beck CAN. Yep, there you go.
All cool. Right. So The Dreaming from Scott. I got something called Elephant Man. or Elephant Men, Volume 0. And this thing's freaking awesome. This is like, I don't know who gave it to me here. I'm going to guess, could be Chris, not Duker. Could be Beck. Could be Callback. Could be Scott's Grin. Could be Matt. He's not here.
Could be one of the people that are here.
I don't think it'd be Matt.
I think it's Chris Duker because he was really like shifty eyes while you were talking.
Yeah, but he would never read something called Elephant Man. I'm going to go Callback. And Callback gave it to me. Keith Callback.
Duker would read it if it was the Avengers Secret Elephant Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
From Image. That's a little off the beaten path there for Duker.
Do you know I'm reading a lot of Image stuff these days?
Because we bug the hell out of you.
Is it Jonathan
Hickman? Your big two habits.
Is it Jonathan Hickman's Elephant Man? Then he definitely in that.
My big two habits are shrinking by the week, much to the chagrin of my comic book retailer that I go to every week.
Yeah. So, well, you're buying through other methods. But what's that? Scott?
What's that?
What are you going to say?
Scott's frozen. Again?
Oh. It's frozen and looking dead sexy.
And a wicked pose. Can someone screen cap that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic look right there. But I think this might be Keith, or maybe it's Scott. It could be Scott. Or it could be, and also, you know who else? It could also be Matt. Or it could be Chris Beck.
Or you could just rhyme off everybody.
or Mo may have recommended it to himself.
Maybe Stan Lee sent it as a submission.
I tell you one thing. It's awesome. It's Richard Starkings. So, of course, everybody knows Richard Starkings for being maybe the most famous and prolific letterer of all time. And this is his actual book that he's written. I don't know if he's ever written anything before. But considering he's a letterer, what's great about this book is it's the concept is it's set in the future where a virus has wiped up most of mankind. And corporations have set out these Elephant Men, which is just any animal from Africa, not just elephants, but rhinoceros, hippopotamus, giraffes, zebras. These animals, human hybrids, who are bred just for war with no emotions, no friends, no way to stop, to wipe out the rest of humanity. And so you think to yourself when you see the cover and you hear Elephant Men, oh, this is going to be like wild adventure. But instead, it's really a parallel to real life wars and real life horror stories and very emotional, very hard-hitting emotionally, but still has a lot of action. It's really the story of Yvette Dubois, also known as Country Girl, who's the kind of the lead character, and her going from being somebody timid to somebody who is determined to wipe these guys out and has the ability to do so. And it's like it's issue zero, so it's like a collection of like a miniseries and some other random issues, and it's like 260 pages for $20 on Comixology, and it's freaking a great value. Terrific read. And like I said, the best thing is here you have this letterer, so you think he would just, you know, fill it full of lettering. But no, he really – the dialogue is really kept to a minimum. It's really strong, and he leaving room for the art, which is not what you would expect. But the dialogue is not too heavy, lots of room for the art. And the art, there's three or four different artists who work on it, but all of them are just awesome artists. Just awesome. Like this was a tremendous book, and this is exactly what the Secret Santa story idea is supposed to be. Like, give somebody a book that they normally would never think to pick up, or it's completely off their radar, that they pick it up and go, man, I gotta tell people about this, and I gotta keep reading it and keep buying it. So this is a huge win, whoever gave it to me, which is, I'm guessing, either Brett or Keith, maybe Duker or Beck, could have been Matt, or Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
I like how you really narrowed down to everybody.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking Keith gave it to me.
He's going out on a limb.
Mo has eliminated himself from the running, though, which is
yes. For me.
he's got one down.
I think Mr. Callback, I think I'm pointing my finger right at you. All right. Brett, I think you're the last guy.
No, I believe that
what
Keith
is that,
needs to
Keith?
Talk to you
about that. Up for the camera for this CEO podcast?
It's a lighter app. He's managed to fill up his phone with useless.
I think Scott's coming back.
I have not spoken, and Brett has not spoken.
Yeah! The return of Enema Bag Jones!
It's really like.
Mr. Bag, let me tell you.
Back.
I know who your internet service provider is, and they clearly suck.
I will say your drink is full.
I won't say any other details.
The drink magically filled up.
It has nothing to do with this internet provider. It has everything to do with his alcohol provider.
Wow, amazing.
He needs to get another
amazing.
One. I was just saying Elephant Man is awesome, and I think you gave it to me, Scott, or Keith. I'm going with Keith.
Or Brett, or Chris, or Chris.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's from Image.
Is it something with an elephant? Fuck do I care?
Are there monkeys in it? Because if there's monkeys, it was me.
Well, I think I'm now thinking it's less. I'm now less thinking it's Scott. I'm more going with Brett.
I wish that I guessed that Scott gave me something so he could shit on me like that. That was great.
Brett, why don't you tell us what you read?
Fair enough. I read Stumptown by Greg Rucka. And
Stumptown's the tits, man. I love that.
Matthew
book.
Southworth. And what I actually find really amusing is the fact that this is 2 years in a row now that I have been given private detective comic books to read. And now they are completely different private detective comics, going from Mucktuck Wolf's Breath now to Stumptown.
What was the last year?
Mucktuck Wolf's Breath, Hard-Boiled Shaman.
Made up words.
Written by Terry Laban, the same writer that wrote The Dreaming this year.
Who was on the show as well.
Yes.
Friend of the show, I might add.
Friend of the show. Great guy.
Just like Mr. Animal Bag Jones. So.
Yeah, maybe acquaintance. I don't know about the mental shit that you guys are talking about.
Associate of the show.
We just got tired of calling you Canadian treasure. That's
yeah.
I like Canadian
Scott
treasure.
Scott Snyder. That Scott Snyder is the Canadian treasure. We all know that.
Is Scott Snyder Canadian?
Yeah. The rumor I started is true, yes.
Okay.
Jeff Lemire and Scott Snyder, both they're brothers. Did you not know?
Interesting fact. I've never read a Scott Snyder book.
Oh.
He's an elephant man.
Is he really?
I have no idea.
Interesting.
It's super interesting.
There's the floating head of Keith again.
Sorry, guys.
Brett was giving it his book thing.
I'm done.
Sorry, Brett.
Anyways, another private detective story. The thing that I like, there's several things that I liked about this, and I know it's shocking because it's Greg Rucka writing a female character. Totally different for him.
Really outside his comfort zone.
Yep,
absolutely. I love that about Greg Rucka. It's one of his best qualities.
It is, absolutely. Now, I think the thing is that the characterization of the character, of all the characters, is great. And so I would carry on reading simply just to read the characters. I found that.
Make fun of the retard brother.
Oh, no. He's a great character. Like, he adds to the stories.
There was, like, nothing for the use of retard there. Like,
that's okay.
I was at a lunch with 20 people today, and someone just, you know, threw out the R word. Like,
what R word?
There was no irony to it. Some people say I'm retired, but I thought they were just calling me retarded. It was like a fish landed on the table. I just pretend I didn't hear that.
Do you work with like 65-year-old people that are just on the cusp of retirement?
No, most of them are way past the cusp.
So Brett, how was your book?
Funny because they can't work podcast technology.
Anyways, so I love the characters. I actually thought that the art was great. Matthew Southworth did an awesome job really capturing Portland, which is a wacky place, like completely. And the only
ever
thing
said that before.
I've never been to Portland.
I think you need to go if you like wacky.
I hear it's
amazing.
That's
the thing. Rose City, there's a sister convention to Emerald City now called Rose City. That I guess happens in September, which I'm kind of eager to go check out.
All right. You should do that.
Check it out, nerds.
But anyways, the only thing that I would say about Stumptown that is the stories are good, but they're not. I didn't find them spectacular, but I found the characters very great and the art very great. So for me, I would definitely keep reading it. And I really enjoyed in the second volume, Greg Rucka did kind of a big essay on private detective and the PI character fiction, and that was really engaging as well. And none of these books have murders, so you know that's something to note. But good stuff.
Who do you think gave it to you?
I'm guessing Matt.
Interesting. Now, question for you, Duker. You said your first two picks that were sent to you didn't work out. Is that because you had already read them?
No, I actually couldn't find them in any shop or online to purchase.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. That's just, yeah. That's horrible. I won't give myself away as your secret Santa, but that's
I will give away that I suggested that we might want to limit ourselves to things that are comiXology, and Mo said you can find anything now.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I just said last year what I said wasn't on comiXology.
Oh, next there it is. Explaining. There it is. First pick.
I wanted Chris.
Who did you predict? Didn't you predict Keith?
I predicted Brett. I think
you predicted Brett. Me. Yes, and I've actually never read
well,
it.
Okay.
So. Scott. Now that we live so close to
Keith,
each other,
Keith, who hasn't given his review, now knows. I guess
and, grab that.
Keith? I'll lend it to you. Thank you, Chris, because I know where you live.
I will loan you an artist edition in trade then.
Okay, so Keith, I'm guessing you do know who Keith. You have to give your review. And Scott probably wasn't your secret Santa. I'll give you a hint.
I actually have a big suspicion who my secret Santa was. Scott was not the suspect. The comic I was given to read was the first five issues of Five Weapons. Jimmy Robinson doing basically everything, created, written, illustrated, and lettered. This was an Image comic. It's back in January with. I don't know if they're starting again at a number one. Probably are. So it's a Shadowline book. A big fan of Shadowline. And I remember giving this book a really good review when we read the number one. And because it was a five-issue miniseries, I kind of was going to wait until it was done and read it all. And then I never got back to it. It was a nice surprise on my inbox to get this recommended as my Secret Santa book. It is it's a book about a boy who is the son of a butler, who is put into a school where he will learn how to be an assassin. But
cool.
He's put in
Red Batman.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But he's put in under the name of his father's boss's son because they're trying to protect the boss's son from other assassins. So he is pretending to be someone else. And the five weapons are the five groups of the school where you can learn guns, knives, special weapons.
Stick.
And then stick and poisons, I think, is really. Or arrows. Arrows was the extra one there. Really, really love this book. It was really enjoyable. It's like Harry Potter with like, you know, stakes. I great suspicion that it was Chris Beck who was my Secret Santa, given that I was the only person I know that read all of Five Weapons. But yeah, I like this one, and I'll keep reading when the new volume starts. It was a really enjoyable book. Good read.
Perfect. All right, let's go around. First off, Chris Duker, will your secret Santa finally reveal himself?
We're waiting.
I've completely overused that. It's not even funny.
Oh, no, it was pretty funny.
It was me, Mr. Anima Bag Jones. Why did
you decide this book to give us?
It was in the end, I knew Chris was a Spider-Man fan. And I thought Gotham Central was kind of a bit of an indie book that actually just happened to be within the big two. And I thought it might be kind of a nice choice for him.
But, you know, it definitely had that feel. I'll give you that, which was nice.
Can I tell you something? Like, I was looking at my list, and I was thinking, in retrospect, what I should have had instead of Gotham Central for you was a book by Paul Grist called Jack Staff.
Oh, cool.
I think that this book is completely up your alley. It's like an old Marvel Age superhero book. I have all four volumes, which I'll lend to you because I know where you live.
All right. We live actually quite close.
Creepy as shit, probably a little bit. But,
no, you know, not at all. At least I know where to get a good pina colada or Havana special.
I don't know how to make a sample of your pina colada. It's all pina coladas over here.
Nice.
Chris?
So, yeah, in retrospect, Jack Sapp would have been a better choice.
Okay, Chris. Jack, will your Secret Santa reveal himself?
Will Chris read again?
Homeland directive.
Your Secret Santa was me.
Wow.
Smooth.
I was actually trying to look up, like, oh, crap, I did this like a month ago.
I know, and we gave out three options, and we don't even know what was picked for the guy by Santa. Chris, who did you say it was? You said Brett?
No, I said Matt.
Oh, you said Matt. Oh.
Matt has recommended that particular book in the past, and I ignored him.
I'll admit, I thought.
So I figured he might actually make me finally read that.
That's awesome.
So, Chris, why did you recommend it? And by the way, I guess I had said it was Keith or Scott who gave me my book, and they have now both been revealed, so I suck. Keith?
Oh God! It was. I had just read it actually. I had just read the book and I really quite enjoyed it. I did. I did make a list of several books that for the list and. So I was actually kind of curious to open up the email to find what else I had recommended on this. But I just thought it was a cool book. I thought it was an interesting set of characters and a compact read. I bought it during one of those great top shelf sales, and it sat on my tablet for about 6 months before I finally got around to reading it. And really glad I did.
Hey, Scott, it's your turn for your Secret Santa to reveal yourself. I forget, who did you say did give you your book?
I didn't.
What? Seriously?
You got distracted.
I didn't. Oh. Nobody asked me, and I'm offended.
Well, then, will Scott's Secret Santa reveal himself?
And if anybody drops Dong to reveal himself, I'm not cool with that.
How about if they drop pina colada?
No. There's no pina anything in this.
No dropping.
I am not drunk enough to show anybody anything, but I was Scott's Secret Santa. The reason I gave him The Dreaming, written by Terry Levan, was it was a new take on old classic DC characters that I thought he'd enjoy. It was also a road trip book. Which from my brief conversations with Scott, it was sort of that kind of thing he liked. There was some crazy stuff in there. And unfortunately, I think he would have really enjoyed the bittersweet ending. Of course, he didn't get that because you can't
Page
work a computer.
Page 17, Comixology. Thanks very much.
But it is one of my favorite stories. And it's really too bad there isn't more Terry Lee Ben out there. He of course went on to do comic strips. So
now, Chris, I do know from talking to you last night, your exact words to me were, "I really wanted to go old school and impress this cat, but nothing. Yeah. But I couldn't find any of the stuff I actually wanted to give him on Comixology. So what were some of the other books that you wanted to give him but just weren't an option?
Well, actually, one of the ones I did suggest, and it is on Comixology, and I wanted his opinion on it. It may be too obvious for Scott, but I was kind of curious what he always felt about Ambush Bug.
Oh, I love Ambush Bug.
See, that's where I was going, and I actually wanted to hear your opinion on the newest Ambush Bug series, Year None.
Yeah, which I haven't read.
Which is fabulous, and it's only 99 cents the issue on Comixology. Beautiful. 6-panel pages only.
Cool.
A much cleaner art style from Keith Giffen than ever before.
Keith Giffen was one of those guys who at the like sort of the pinnacle of my my youth, where I was really into comic books, was the guy that kind of got me moving in the direction of wanting to do comic books as a career, because everything he did was funny. Like everything that he wrote, like his Justice League International, was one of the funniest things, and the only superhero comic book up the top two that I'll actually recommend to people, because it's funny. Like, you know, anybody who, you know, doesn't know the characters can still enjoy that.
See, it bugs me that Ambush Bug is right now in the backup features of every DC book, and I'm not digging it. Because he was all about continuity. And now that we're in the New 52, none of that matters. You know, he always throws back to obscure characters. You're always dealing with, you know, Yankee Doodle Poodle and characters that are embarrassment to the DC universe.
She was a member of Captain Carrot and his Amazing Zoo crew, and none of those characters are embarrassing.
Just Yankee Poodle, in fact.
Poodle, that's an amazing name.
Who doesn't like a good Yankee Poodle?
They also had Fastback, that was the turtle that could run fast.
Pig Iron,
of course, Captain Carrot. Rubber Duck, how can you forget? And Alley Cat Abra.
Alley Cat Abra, yep.
Yeah, wow. Awesome. And Mighty Cheese, it led it in.
I so know what somebody's getting for Secret Santa next year, baby.
Love it.
So how much awesome. Captain Carrot is on in Comixology?
Not enough.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Yankee Poodle Who's Who entry that I don't have. Like, I thought I had all the Who's Who volume issues, but I don't have this one.
Really?
And, okay, strangely enough, when you look up Yankee Poodle on Google, the second image of Yankee Poodle is, like, her with a bikini that's falling off.
They did that those characters.
From the Ambush Bug series.
Really?
I'm recommending.
Her real-life alter ego was, like, what was her name? Rona Barrett, who was the, gossip columnist. All of them were, like, Rubber Duck's real-life alter ego was Burt Reynolds and... You know,
Bird Reynolds. I think.
Yeah, he called himself Bird Reynolds. He's Bird Reynolds. Like, that's awesome.
That's great. That sounds too good.
It's an awesome series.
All right. So, well, Moe's Secret Santa reveal himself. I'm thinking it's Brett or Matt now.
Poof!
It's Brett.
I am here.
How could you have read this book, and I not have heard you talk about it?
Well, okay. Here's the best part. This just proves how little you actually listen to me. In the fact that
I won't deny that's not true.
I reviewed this for Comicosity, so it's in print how much I love this book. I in fact mentioned it on the Wee Talkies last year. Also, it went into the Comicosity top 5 list last year as one of my favorites. But yes, it's I was actually trying to think about, like, how am I supposed to give something to you, who I have known for so many decades in that regard, and have you not know that it was me and give it away completely right off the bat? So I figured that, well, there's no way that you read anything that I write, so I'm totally safe with that.
Well, I drive to work with you and home work with you every single day. I don't think I need to read what you write. I figure I'll hear it. the car.
But yeah, it's funny because I changed my list about four times within the 24-hour period that I knew that it was going to be you.
What were the other things on your list?
Sleeper season one.
Mm-hmm. And good book there.
Yep, and then the other one is The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood, which I thought might give it away.
I might have gotten you from that one, but I still think I would have thought Beck then. There's no way I don't think any of those I would have gotten you, but who knows? Because I really don't pay attention to what you're saying.
No, exactly. But Elephant Man is an awesome book. Like the characterization, it was nothing like what I expected.
No, me neither. Like I said, I thought it'd be an adventure book and kind of silly but fun. It's not. It's adventure, but not like that.
No, I mean, it's so anti-war and so brilliant in that regard. So
yeah. Will Keith's Secret Santa reveal himself? And I am me.
Hey!
I knew it!
I almost gave it away earlier.
Sister said, song.
You know, the thing is, here's what's funny, Keith.
I am my
said, Keith said, well, the only person I know who's read this is Chris. And I'm going, actually, the only person on our podcast, regular crew, who hasn't read it was you. Me.
That's exactly right.
And we all loved it. So, I mean, I also had
again, Keith not reading anything that I write because it was top of my list on another Comicosity thing that I wrote. So, you know, there you go.
Brett, you're just a shitty
Definitely
writer.
An Let's awesome book, honest. Though.
You're a Brett, shitty writer, Brett.
Brett, I don't read what you write because I'm waiting for the movie.
Yeah, that's right.
But no,
it'll be in my autobiography.
I almost gave it away because you're sitting there talking about it and you forgot one of the key plot points when you're talking about how he's like actually the butler who's hiding from the assassin, and it's that the whole point is because he can't choose a weapon, he has to outsmart all the best leaders of each of these factions in the school without actually using a weapon, because as the son of a butler, he's not allowed to choose a weapon. He can't be an assassin. So he has to do all this with his brains too. And that's a key point that made it so cool. I love the book, and I just, cause I loved it so much. And I knew you hadn't read it. And I was trying to find, like, you were tough for me. Cause I'm like, how do I give Keith something that he doesn't know as me? I can't give him anything DC cause he's read it all. Like everything I've read from DC, he's read and he's read more. And, you know, there's not a lot from Marvel that I've read either. So I had a limited. I did give him – I did say to Aaron that you could do the – one of my other choices was the Ultimates, the first miniseries. I didn't think you had read that.
No, I have not.
Yeah, so that was one of the other ones. And I thought that would – you wouldn't get me from that. And then the other thing was something called Roswell, Little Green Man, which you probably would have had to order it. I don't think it's on Comixology. It's from Bongo Comics. It's awesome. But it's per a few years old. So that was it. I was trying to find something where it's like really good, but you wouldn't think me, but I knew you hadn't read. And that was tough. So, but I love the book, so I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I mean, I knew right off that it wasn't Brett that got me, because he didn't assign me the entire Don Hickman Fantastic Four run. In omnibus form.
To Fuck read, you.
No, you're still bitter about last year because he made you read 42 books.
It was like 25. Okay,
omnibus.
I'd pay somebody to make me read comic books.
I am so totally. If I ever get your name again, it's gonna be. You know, like, it's going to be all of Amazing Spider-Man.
You know, it's too bad because I really wanted to get Comic Canuck Chris Duker. Because I knew exactly what I was going to give him, and it's too bad.
What was it?
I don't want to say in case I get you next year.
You can't
totally
say
because saving that up.
It's too filthy to say on air.
Right. It's Omaha.
He wanted to give me a pina colada.
Oh, baby, I'm going to give Chris Duker X. Gentlemen, I'm sorry, I got a text that said, He-Man, Eternia is in danger. We need your help to defeat Skeletor and all his evil minions.
You know what, Scott? We're wrapping up. The show is over.
I'm apparently busy. That's literally.
But I'm glad we. I'm glad we got in
the text that I got.
I can see
I'm glad we got in some product placement before the end of the show, though.
Yeah.
But I am just going to – so we're going to go out. I'm just going to say we are now on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there and hit the email subscription button on the right-hand side, and any posts that go up, you get an automatic email telling you they're there. Other than that, Mo_WeTalk, Brett_WeTalk with two T's, and Mo with no E on my name, Chris_WeTalk, @CubReporterK. And then the four of us are OU team. We'll let the two gentlemen who are our guests get the final plugs in. Duker?
Excuse me. My name is Chris Duker, and I am the co-owner and managing editor of comicbooktherapy.com. You can find me on Twitter @comic_Canuck. And also for Comic Book Therapy, we are @ComicBTherapy. And thanks for having me on the show, guys. I love it every time. You treat us well, and good friends to our site.
And thanks for showing up sober this time. Mr. Enema Bag Jones.
That's me, Mr. Enema Bag Jones. Riding railway cars across country, eating tainted hams.
Is that what you call them?
Yeah, that's what I call them. Enjoying life on the run. So, okay, Mr. Enema Bag Jones was a joke from a Dave Foley movie called The Wrong Guy.
I love The Wrong Guy.
It was a movie about Dave Foley as a character who thought himself to be the prime suspect in the murder of his boss. And he wasn't. There were cameras within the office that showed who the real killer was. So he went on the lam, as it were, thinking himself to be the sought after murderer. And at some point in the movie, he eats 10 pounds of tainted ham and winds up in the hospital. And, you know, he's out, he comes to, and the doctor says, you know, all we need is your name for the records here. You know, you came in unconscious. And he said, you know, in true Dave Foley, Kids in the Hall fashion, yeah, my name is, and he looks around the room and he, you know, he fixates on, you know, the word Jones that was on like the side of like a just some sort of medical equipment. Say, Jones, my name's Mr. Jones. Then he looks, and right besides a box that says Simpson, there's another box that says Enema Bag. Says, my name's Mr. Enema Bag Jones. Mr. Enema Bag Jones. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in a movie.
It's pretty awesome.
Join us for the We Talk Movies Secret Santa, where
everyone gives this movie to all of us.
It's hilarious. Yeah. So Brain Candy was the Kids in the Hall like movie, but The Wrong Guy was the good Kids in the Hall movie.
Oh, they're both Kids in the Hall movies?
No.
You said it's a Dave Foley movie.
Brain Candy was the Kids in the Hall movie. Foley, The Wrong Guy was a Dave Foley movie, but it was basically just a Kids in the Hall movie. It was so good.
And the thing I loved about Brain Candy was it was just so messed up. So a lot of people hated it, but I loved it because it was what you'd expect from Kids in the Hall.
See,
they put in a movie.
I loved it.
Cat on my head.
It was that, it was that Kids in the Hall format where they kind of waited for the laugh. Because like there was kind of technically a laugh track to Kids in the Hall because it was a live audience. And that was the one thing that didn't, like, I kind of just missed on Brain Candy was that there was always a pause. Always a pause. What was the
You're not going to let us get off the show, are you, Scott?
No, I want to talk about things that I've been watching.
You're thinking of the miniseries. Was it Death Comes to Town?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I didn't enjoy that one at all.
They're back writing. They're back at something.
Oh, that's cool. What's the name? Bruce McDonald or Bruce McConnell or what's
McCullough.
The Bruce McCullough. Bruce McCullough. He did a movie called, it was called Dog Park that he wrote and directed. And it had like Natasha Henstridge and I think Janine Garofalo or something like that. And it was pretty damn good. So
the one I like, the secret Kids in the Hall movie that I particularly love
is National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
You're tempted to write it off because it's National Lampoon's, but cracks me up every time.
Yeah. There are actually several really good National Lampoon movies.
Oh, I love National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon. Oh,
Loaded Weapon,
oh,
man.
Yeah. So funny.
Shatner sticking his damn head into the fish tank. And
you seen that one, Paul Chuck?
I have seen that one several times because it's hilarious.
Yeah, like you said, betcha. Shatner, the evil Shatner character, like
Shatner steals the whole movie.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez's butt shot was particularly funny because it was like it was moonlit, right?
Yeah.
Like a moonlit butt shot. That's so funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Low- We are officially going to get out of here, and we'll see you on Chris. We'll see you in the new year on the show, I'm sure. And Kowalczyk, we will see you in just a few days for the 2013 second annual We Talk Comics Super Summit.
Who are the guests?
Well, we got you, Ryan Ferrier, Ben Renkel, Chris Beck, Keith Kalbeck, Brett Monroe, Mo Christensen.
Chris Peterson,
that's right. Jeff.
Kurt Pierce, if he thinks we're cool enough.
Jeff, what's, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting how to pronounce his last name, Keith. Or Jason.
Jason Memel. Jason Memel, writer of Fight Comics.
Nick, sorry, what's his last name?
We'll see who else makes it. Yeah, it'll be a good crowd. Most importantly, I'll be there, and Scott will be focused on the show, so don't get all handsy.
And Scott, most importantly, you're allowed to bring a flask.
Excellent, because there was some concern that I couldn't bring a drink for the show.
That's true. But no Matthew Santori Griffin.
No.
What a lazy bastard. Get on a fucking airplane. Seriously.
You're
Chicago to Calgary is not that far, man.
That's what we expect more people to want to come this year because you're not going to be there. But I'm trying to see.
Aw, thanks, man. That's actually the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to look who else is there, but I think that's other people.
If you go on Kijiji, you could probably find some more people.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it is? My wife texted me the name of that app.
I'm sorry.
Earlier in the show, it's called Tinder. So for all you singles out there, and all you cheating relationship people, Tinder is the name of the app where you can go and hook up with locals.
Sorry, it's called what? STD clinic visit?
Yes, it was called STD clinic. I believe it's right beside Chris Duker's house.
It's like one stop shop.
Wow. Oh my god. What just happened? That backfired. So, okay, we're done.
Just like what? Very backfired.
All right, seriously, guys, I need to use the bathroom. That's the end of the show. Bye.
Bye. I was tired of my lady. We've been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I went to paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was a letter I read. If you like pina colada. About my lady, I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old dumb routine. So I wrote you the paper, so got a personal laugh. And though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it.
wasn't that bad. Guess I let Pina Coladas and getting caught in the rain. I'm not much in the hell fruit. I am into champagne. I got to meet you by tomorrow noon and cut through all this red tape. So I waited with high hopes, and she walked in the place. I knew her smiling at sunset. I knew the curve of her face. It was my own lovely lady. She said, "Shit, oh, it's you." Then we left for a moment, and I said, "I never knew that you like pina coladas."